There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks careers.
Our guest today is careers expert Shane Phillips from the Phillips Group. Hi, Shane.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Very welcome. Good to see you. Our legal expert today is Christina Nachaiva. She's a legal consultant, head of corporate section, MBH Advocates and Legal Consultants. Welcome along, Christina. Nice to have you.
Hi.
We promise to be gentle. So our topic today, we want to talk about leadership. What makes great qualities? What makes a good leader? What makes someone that you want to look up to and work with? Now, Shane, this was a topic that you brought in. Tell me what you think makes a great leader.
Well, I think one of the big changes we're really seeing as we go into the 21st century is this abandonment of the concept of this iconic leader who has these secret mix of traits that's going to drive an organization over the next mountaintop. And really, we're starting to see the concept of identity and values become a central theme in leadership itself. So, you know, at that center key, we really see values and a sense of identity. And just to give you a simple example of that is, you know, as we move forward, people are going to want to have their sense of self be identified with their organization. And the closer you get your sense of self tied to the sense of the organization, the stronger your leadership will be, and the more easily you'll be able to drive superhuman performance in your organization. So when you look at it, you have some organizations where people are actually willing to die for the organization itself. So you see that in, for example, in some journalists. They're not being paid that much. They're willing to risk their lives in a war zone because they believe what they're doing is so important. On the other side of the spectrum, you can have you're just paying for performance, these transactional organizations. And in that, you actually will have the opposite effect. People will try to distance their sense of self from the organization. So that's the top piece. And then, of course, you have the usual universals, which are strategy, vision, leadership. These are kind of cores as you get into tactically, how do we execute and move a large group of people towards a goal.
And Christina, you're head of corporate section at your employer. What do you think are great leadership qualities? What do you have to possess to do your job?
I think it always depends on the environment. For example, here in UAE, the environment is quite mixed. For example, in our company, we have lots of different members from all over the world. That's why being a leader is a little bit more complicated here in UAE. You have to, adjust to environment. You have to see the team, the staff, and, to listen to them, to be a great leader, so you can lead them and they will do their job better.
This is one of the things here in the Emirates, isn't it? We've got people, and we talk about this all the time, we've got 200 different nationalities here. That's different cultures, different approaches, different attitudes. So that really is key. I should just point out, if you have a question for Christina, a legal question today, usual numbers apply, 4001 via the free app or 423 1010. And I suppose in particular, we're looking at legal questions to do with careers, but we're also interested in what you think. If you're hearing this and thinking, well, I completely disagree and disregard that, tell us what you think a great leader is. Shane, let me come back to you on something you said there. You made the point that it really is down to values, I suppose. That's one of the top line statements that you made. But what kinds of values should a great leader be espousing? What is there a classic value process there?
Well, yeah, I think first, your question begs the definition of values, and that's that word can be used in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And so you have values, your personal values, which make up your character and which can be the basis for your decision-making process. We also have value in the sense of what we value in life. For example, the doctor may have a huge value for the medical profession because it literally saves lives. A CEO of a media company may feel media as the fourth estate of society. It has a huge value and role to play in fact, society itself. So when you look at the original bankers, and this is what I really mean when I talk about value. So when you look in the banking sector today, you have the branch network, right? And we assume the banking branch network is We just assume that it's always been like that, but it wasn't. Who invented the branch network? Well, it was Amedeo Gianni, who was the founder of Bank of America, because he wanted to provide working capital to immigrant farmers, and he had such a value in it that if you didn't have working capital to run your farm, when the winter came, you starved to death and you died. So he said, this is the most important thing, and I have to do this with my life. So first of all, a leader should have a huge value for the profession itself, and should have a huge value for the role that plays in society and community. And that will follow down to the value people have for the company, whether that's your customers or your front end employers, right? So you can take, for example, a company like Nestle. You talk to them, they don't say that they're selling FMCG goods. They say, look, we're improving the quality of life of people. Our goods, our products are there to improve the standard of living. And, you know, we were doing a CSR event with an orphanage in Africa, and the first product that they requested was the Nestle nutritional milk. That's a huge value, and so they're saying, hey, look, these products really are important to saving the lives of these babies. And when you talk to the chairman, he's saying, look, we're not just making products. So that value gives a very deep sense of identity to the people who are working in those companies. They're very proud to work for those companies. And the main question you need to ask yourself as a leader is, are your people willing to sacrifice for the organization, right? If you have a transactional business, they're not willing to sacrifice. They're just, you know, for whatever you pay me a dollar worth of work, I give you a dollar's worth of work. Mm-hmm. But when you start to lead through identity and values, people at Nestle may say, oh, look, you paid me for a dollar, but I'm going to do $10 worth of work because what we're doing is so important. We're literally saving lives. We're literally changing the world. And so that's what I mean by values.
So you've really got to buy into the values, haven't you, Ed? What's really important here is that you lead in such a way that those values are believable and people will follow those values.
Yeah, you fundamentally have to switch from like core questions people maybe were asking in the previous century to be successful were, you know, what products, services are we selling and who are we selling those products and services to? In the 21st century, you really start to have to ask yourself, who are we and why are we doing what we're doing, right? You have to answer the who and the why versus the what. And that's really where you start to see the difference. And as you move, as this model kind of matures, you have the tangible elements of leadership, which are like your business plan, your accounting, your cash flow projections, you know, all the tangible elements that you can see, your strategy. But those will always play second fiddle to your core things like your sense of identity, who you are as an organization, who people feel they are when they work for you, your sense of purpose and direction and where you're really going with this whole thing. And I think those are critical elements. So fundamentally great leaders who are going to be successful in the next 5 to 10 years are ones who are identity creators, who are culture creators and have very steadfast values.
It's Drive Live Talks Careers. Our topic today is all about what makes a great leader. Our guest today is Shane Phillips from the Phillips Group. Our legal expert is Christina Nacheva, legal consultant and head of corporate section, MEH Advocates and Legal Consultants. Christina, I wanted to start off with a question that's just come in for you. It's from Vanessa. Vanessa says, do you think mentoring for lawyers adds value to cultivating leaders who are lawyers in-house?
In-house, well, you know, it's... I think it's quite a not bad idea. You know, for example, if somebody going to join our company, we are always monitoring about the skills and knowledge what these people have before they will actually join our company. So I think, you know, motivating people and, you know, guiding them in this direction will be nice to develop their leadership skills, especially in the legal environment, you know, where you should be, you should have, you know, like, two options. You should be a lawyer, a good professional, and also you should have a leadership skills to guide another lawyers who are actually in the same profession, in the same field with you, to do their job and, you know, and to improve themselves. So you should develop yourself always.
That's an interesting point, you know, because I'm sitting thinking, do you need to be a truly effective leader? Let me put this to you first, Christina. To be a really effective leader, is it absolutely necessary that you've done the job that you're mentoring or leading? Is that important? How important is that?
Well, it depends. You know, it depends about the situation. But, you know, if you are a leader and you have a senior position in the company, it's not necessary for you to do the job actually yourself. You should know how to guide other, you know, members of your team to do the job and to run the situation. So maybe my reply will be not always, and depends about the situation. So you will not do the job yourself. You'll just guide people. You will monitor the situation in your team. You will know who is the one who will do this job better and quicker. And, you know, we are always working on result on the client. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not important for the client who will do the job. It's important that it will be done in the right way and right time, you know. So being a leader, you have to know your group. You have to know your team, and you have to manage the job.
So it's understanding. Is that the key, Shane, that you understand the role, or do you? Is it possible that you're going to get more respect from somebody when you've done the role? You really understand the pitfalls or the glory in any one position?
Well, I think when you move into the senior executive arena, you take someone like Henry Ford. He's not going to be able to have the experience of all the technical engineers, etc., that are working together to deliver his automobiles. But really what his job was to deliver that sense of purpose. And he felt that making society more mobile, or mobilizing society, was going to transform society, was going to help increase GDP dramatically. And he was a visionary. That's definitely correct. You know, one of the great things that will happen here is when they bring in the railway, you'll see that spike in GDP. You look at someone like Colm McLaughlin, who built Dubai Duty Free. Yes, he is a duty free specialist, and he has 45 years experience in the area, but there's no way he's going to know. But he was the one who had the vision and the sense of purpose that they're building the number one duty free in the world. So at the end of the day, the senior leader's job is to give that sense of identity, purpose, and direction to the team. And those specific technical skills are just not that important. And I think one of the mistakes leaders do is they want to round out my executive skill set. You don't want to round out your executive skill sets. You want to play to your strengths, and unless you have a critical flaw, and bring in team members who know what they're doing to support you where your gaps are.
And Christina, do you think it's important that leaders are well respected? Do you think it's important that if you're leading a team, you need to have their respect as well?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the most important quality, that your team, your members, and your company will respect you, because people, they will not listen to you if they don't have respect. You cannot be a good leader if you will lead the company on fear or just on your position. They need to respect you, so they need to see in you the quality of the leaders and the knowledge. And plus, as a leader, you have to give for the people understanding and feel themselves like they are in the family. Because, you know, if the person, he is just feeling himself employee, he will not do his job, you know, like properly. Maybe he will just like do it like machine. So you have to give for the people understanding that they are really important. That's what you spoke before, that you have to implement the importance of the job that you are doing, and also the people who are inside of the company. They are important. They are the family, so they should try their best.
But I suppose every leader has a unique selling point. I mean, take the example of the classic example of the Steve Jobs example. From what you read now, he perhaps wasn't the most popular boss for a number of different reasons, in the way perhaps he treated people. But there was something different there, wasn't there, Shane? There was vision there. And I suppose even if you begrudgingly respect vision, even if it is Steve Jobs, whoever it is, you still respect the vision, even if you don't particularly like the person. And that's just another way of being a great leader, isn't it?
Well, I think when you look at Steve Jobs, I mean, he really felt from the beginning he's changing the world. And I think that he actually would say that when he was working. And so that deep sense of purpose and the value for his profession is definitely there. You can also see it when you look at the one of the latest and greatest financial wealth creation moments in the last decade or more was Bitcoin. And when you look at how is Bitcoin created, it was not created by bankers or financial individuals trying to understand how they can make money. It was actually created from a sense of identity. It was created from a sense of identity of what you call a cypherpunk. A cypherpunk is a
What?
A cypherpunk.
Okay.
It's different to a steampunk, I think.
So a cypherpunk was basically a movement that started in the 80s and 90s through cryptology and was founded by libertarians on the west coast of America, namely in San Francisco. And they created a mailing list and initially had 100 people, and I think at its height it got up to maybe 2,000 globally. Some of the notable people on that list were Julian Assange, for example, and these were people who felt that cryptology and using social media using cryptology to increase people's privacy and decentralizing power from the government to the people was really critical to improving
knock the microphone out, Shane.
There we go. So as into improving quality of life. And so that went on to creating digital money, and then it went on to creating this Bitcoin. And so at the root of that value creation was not this, what I call MBA-itis, that, oh, we have to have an innovative disruption technology. It's going to be disruptive and we're going to make money and we're going to da-da-da-da. No, it was like, hey, we're libertarians. We want power in the hands of the people. We want to take power away from the central bank. We think people of all countries should be able to do financial transactions together. So that's really how you have to start using values and identity as we move forward.
Shane, this is obviously a topic that you are passionate about, leadership, how these values sort of trickle down, whether you're a CEO or someone working in a shop or anything like that. You think they can be applied everywhere?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people realize that the current leadership model, you know, can be dated back all the way to the time of Socrates, when they started to believe that, you know, the educated few have to lead the uneducated masses, you know. And as we move forward, that's falling apart. And now, for example, you deal with a CEO, he has a clear vision, he has a clear strategy, he has a clear business plan, and you go down to his frontline branch, and the people in the branch don't want to be bankers. They don't believe in banking, or they don't see the huge value that banking brings to society. You can take radio out of the industry, you can take management consulting out of the economy, but you take banking out and everything stops right on day one. So you're definitely not going to hit your targets if your people don't believe in what you're doing, and that's going to become more and more true every step we take into the future.
You're listening to Drive Live Talks Careers. Our topic today is about leadership. We've had lots of texts in. We'll get to them shortly, including why so far no one has mentioned the word trust.
Drive Live Talks Careers.
Our topic today is all about leadership, but not just any kind of leadership, quality leadership and what those values involve. Our careers expert today is Shane Phillips from the Phillips Group. Our legal expert is Christina Nacheva, legal consultant, head of corporate section, MBH Advocates and Legal Consultants. Just a few moments ago, we had a text in from someone called Rob. And Rob says, hello, team. One word I haven't heard in the leadership discussion is trust. Without this, leadership is impossible. Now, Christina, what do you make of that?
I think, of course, definitely trust is important for the leadership skills. People should entrust in you. And I think indirectly we were talking about this before. So people should believe. And believe is, if you believe, you have a trust. So you trust your leader and you follow him. So that's why I think we already discussed this point. And it's important to have a trust for the leader, because you'll not follow anyone you don't trust.
And Shane, your feelings on trust and leadership?
Well, these are core elements: trust, integrity, honesty, that you really have to have. And I think when you look at any leadership model, I don't think there's anyone that says, you know, be untrusting, which will be a kind of success lever or catalyst for your leadership model. I don't think so.
Okay, Sanjay has texted in and said, primary skills that a leader needs is people management and, very importantly, Shane, the ability to listen to the issues and challenges their subordinates face. It's not necessary that the lower level details be known, but the canvas of work must be understood so the team stays relevant, risks are understood, and there's value addition.
Well, you really want to make a distinction between leaders and management. And so it sounds like he's dipping into the realm of management, which is vastly different than a leader. Some people are great leaders and horrible managers, and people can be great managers and horrible leaders. Very rarely do you see someone who's great at leading and managing. And I think his comment really pertains to management, not leadership.
What's the difference between a leader and a manager then? What's the primary difference?
A manager is really, it's a tactical piece where you have a vision. You know, for example, we need to sell 100,000 blue widgets at the end of the year. What are the things that we really need to do? What's our go-to-market strategy? What do we need to execute? You know, so you'll put your success metrics in and you'll start managing the team towards that goal. A leader is someone who's, you know, like Henry Ford, like Karl McLaughlin,
with that strong,
like his Royal Highness Sheikh Mohammed, people who are creating identity or creating culture, who have a long penetrating visions. You know, this is the realm of leadership, and those individuals could be horrible managers. You know, they may not be good at all. In fact, so you look at for example some lawyers. They can be fantastic leaders in terms of this is what the future of justice should look like. This is how justice should play in a society. This is how we should set up our legal system. This is the role of jurisprudence in our community. But then when it comes to managing a law firm, they're absolutely horrible, right? And that's the fundamental difference between leading and managing.
I don't think they all are, Christina, are they, in law firms? That's certainly not the case. I saw you laughing there. Let me throw two texts at both of you, if I can. There's loads and loads of definitions in on the text of what a great leader is, and let me throw two at you. Kumar, first of all, a great leader is a boss, a mentor, and a friend. What do you think, Christina? All of those things or not really those things?
Not really.
Okay. Shane, what do you think? A boss, what was it, a mentor, and a friend. Is that a great leader?
I mean, I don't know, it's just kind of a wild statement, but I would say if I'm giving someone career advice, naturally your boss is going to mentor you. So if you're going to choose a mentor, try to choose it at above the pay grade of your boss, which will help you manage your career.
It's a great idea to be a friend boss, but I don't think it's quite, you know, reality.
So there needs to be the distance there.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Why does there need to be distance there?
Then you'll not listen. You'll not listen to your boss if you feel he's your friend. Maybe it can give some crash.
There's a great line.
There's
a great line in The Godfather, Shane. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Maybe you could substitute enemies for boss. What about that? How does that work? No?
Yeah.
I think
here's another one. Let me give you another one. A great leader goes the extra mile, i.e. sets the example. This is Damien. Stays later, works longer, sacrifices more. But the point, I guess, is the going the extra mile. This is, I suppose, very much an organisation, a professional organisation, but it's going the extra mile. It's having that vision to see this is where I'm going and taking the team with you. Is that a great leader? Christina, first of all.
Yeah, I think it's fine. It's a good idea. Of course, he should see where he goes, and also he should predict where they should reach in future. So not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, but what's the main idea? So yeah, I think I agree.
We've heard quite a few texts in today. Sorry we couldn't get to them all, but Matt wants to know more advanced skills such as emotional intelligence. I think we need a whole other program to do that on. So Matt, that might be something we return to. But I want to give Barrett the last word. He says, managers create followers and leaders create more leaders. Our guests today were careers expert Shane Phillips from the Phillips Group. Shane, thanks for joining
us. Thanks for having us.
And our legal expert was Christina Nacheba, legal consultant and head of corporate section, MBH Advocates and Legal Consultants. Christina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.